At our last session of Simon Peter, flawed but faithful disciple, I promised to preach on one of Adam Hamilton's chapters, From Cowardice to Courage, because it's too important not to. So let us bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I enjoy berry picking. I like the fruit, but admittedly, I enjoy the eavesdropping that goes with the experience. One August, I was in Lexington, Massachusetts, a very success-oriented community, when I overheard a father talking to his daughter about her recent camp experience. "What were you really good at?" he wanted to know. She couldn't think of an answer. So he changed his question. "Then, in which activity would you say that you were the best?" She thought and thought, and then her face brightened as she said, "I know, the ropes course. I was the very best at being scared." I actually heard that conversation. Didn't make it up. You can imagine the father asking himself, "How much did I pay to send her to that camp?" We as a culture are success loving. The market is filled with self-help books on how to succeed. We love to hear that everyone can be a winner. And I admit to liking a phrase in particular. It's, "This is a win-win situation." And I think, yeah, I can go for that. But there is a downside to this stance, and I think that James Holzhauer put his finger right on it. You know who James Holzhauer is? All right, I'll tell you. In case you don't recognize the name, he is the reigning Jeopardy champion who has amassed more than $1 million. The secret of his success, and he was ready to part with it, he said, "Most contestants don't gamble the way I do. Loss aversion is a very real factor." His strategy is to begin games with the highest value clues. He always starts with the thousands, because if he's wrong, then he figures that he's got more than enough time to make up for the loss. So, now, let's look at the Apostle Peter. Three reasons for why his faith allowed him to go from being cowardly to courageous. First, Peter was not subject to loss aversion. Repeatedly, he went for broke. And as Scripture attests, he got it wrong a lot of the time. He sets out to walk on water, and glub, glub. When Jesus foretells of his death, Peter won't hear of it. And as a consequence, he is called Satan. Jesus tries to wash his feet. Peter resists until he thinks he gets it and asks for a bath. When Jesus is arrested, Peter lops off the ear of the high chief priest Malchus. Not a good idea. If we are talking overall success as a disciple, that's not an impressive record. There are more examples I'm sparing you from hearing. But what Peter had going for him was a healthy ego, which was not based on looking good. Think about it. Peter would have had some say as to what was included in the Gospels. Tradition has it that Peter was a first-hand source for the Gospel of Mark. But nowhere does he seem to put energy into a whitewash, into trying to make himself look better than he is. Quite the contrary. This is a warts and all presentation. Why? Because what mattered more to Peter was who Jesus was, what Jesus said, and how Jesus revealed that he was embodying the living God. That's where his focus lay, and he really didn't care about his own PR. It reminds me of the brilliant poet Mary Oliver, who died not so very long ago. And she, throughout her life, got plenty of criticism in her day. She was lambasted by critics for writing about old-fashioned topics, things like nature, beauty, and worst of all, God. Her response, this is a quote, "The best way to deal with critics is to worry less about yourself in the first place." She, like Peter, has been described as having almost no ego at all. And what a wonderful trait to have. So first point, Peter did not have loss aversion. And where his faith was concerned, he went for broke. And what's key here is that he was able to persist long enough so that his failures never obstructed or destroyed his vision. I love Winston Churchill's quote. Winston Churchill said, "Courage is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm." Peter never lost his. Second point, we do well to remember that God is an alchemist and can do wonders in transforming bad things into good. Yes, Peter made lots of mistakes, as do we all. But Peter somehow trusted God to use his mistakes to somehow make them pay off. Peter was, after all, a rock. And yes, it's true, rocks can sometimes be stumbling blocks. Peter proved that. But at other times, they can indeed be stepping stones. And in that sense, Peter, throughout the next 35 years of his lifespan, exceeded all expectations. Tom Watson was the founder of IBM, and once one of his junior executives lost $10 million on a risky venture. Lost. He went into Watson's office and said, "Well, I suppose you want my resignation." To which Watson replied, "What? We just spent $10 million educating you. You can't quit now." Similarly, Peter had come to realize that his education was priceless in Christ's eyes. He could not quit. One of the homework assignments in our class was to come up with our own disguised blessings, those times when we thought in our lives that the very worst had happened, when we had stumbled terribly, or someone else had, until over time we could see God's hand in transforming what had seemed so bad in the moment into something so good. Restored mental health, a life-giving second marriage, a hopeful job prospect, the stepping stone experiences abounded. Peter learned that lesson. Thirdly, Peter learned how to act on love and not fear. The question, "Do you love me?" is one that's being asked continuously. Yet despite its popularity as a question, it's never ranked very high for the person being asked. Because if the answer is no, the results could be disastrous. And if the answer is yes, The person responding might well be offended, particularly if he or she thinks that the existing love is perfectly obvious. Well, this is what happened in that well-known scene between Tevye and Goldie in Fiddler on the Roof. You remember? Tevye hesitantly and ever so timidly asks his wife, Goldie, "Do you love me?" "Do I what?" he asks again. "Do you love me?" She, at this point, suggests that he's suffering from indigestion. But then he inquires a third time, "Do you love me?" And finally, she goes into a lengthy listing of tasks she has faithfully performed throughout their marriage. "For 25 years, I've milked your cows, cooked your meals, raised your children," on and on and on and on she goes, and she concludes with the question, "Why ask about love right now?" The conversation between Peter and Jesus feels somewhat similar. After they are through eating, Jesus takes Peter aside and asks him that question. "Do you love me?" Like Goldie, Peter can't believe that Jesus would ask him such a thing. Nonetheless, Peter assures Jesus, or tries to, that he does, but then is upset by the fact that Jesus simply tells him to feed his lambs, and then repeats the same question a second time. Peter answers identically. And Jesus tells him very matter-of-factly to feed his sheep. And then Jesus asks Peter for the third time if he loves him. And Peter responds all the more vehemently. And Jesus instructs him once again, saying, "Then feed my sheep." Clearly, there's a communication gap here. Jesus is asking one question, and Peter seems to be answering another. And the difference, as I see it, is the same difference that occurs in the conversation between Tevye and Goldie. One person is talking about love as an emotion, and the other is talking about love as day-to-day tasks, love as committed actions. Peter is ready to keep his love at an "I feel good about you, Jesus." But Jesus is asking for more. If you feel good about me, then do something with that love. In other words, don't settle. Don't settle for feelings. Don't settle for good feelings about me. I want actions on my behalf. And doesn't Jesus say the same thing to us? So, how to go from being cowardly to being courageous? We can learn from the Apostle Peter. Three ways. First, think less about what people think of you, and think more about who Jesus is. Secondly, remember that misfortune, mishaps, are like knives. They can either cut you or serve you. Believe in God's transforming power to allow them to serve you. And three, remember that the only failure that you need to fear is the failure to respond in action to the love of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.